Lord Jesus, we can't thank you enough nor ask you enough times to let your word penetrate our hearts. God, it seems like we're so slow to receive and so quick to forget. So please, God, may your word sink into our hearts in a way that our lives are changed, that we live better and live more for you. God, may today's word truly transform us into the servants that you want us to be. God, may the lights that have been dim for so long go on, and may the lack that we've suffered for so long, may it finally, finally be fulfilled. Please help us to get it. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Reveal to us the very nature of our own heart. We rely on you and you alone. We ask these things by the power of Christ's blood. Amen. You know, it's actually a good thing that we have a little bit of a smaller crowd today, because today is the continuation of what scholars call the upper room discourse. Today's Bible study is not for non-believers. If you're a non-believer here, if you're curious about the things of the Lord, but you have not gotten serious yet, then today's Bible study, you're going to be sitting on the outside watching our leader give a discourse, watching our master explain to us exactly how we are supposed to live. And if you are, again, if you're not a believer here, you might be one of those people that looks like, that's pretty crazy stuff you guys are talking. It is. When me and my son are sitting down and having a conversation about his life, some of you guys, if you were listening to that, might be like, dude, what are you thinking? What are you saying? Why would you say that to him? Like, wait, don't get involved in the conversation. I know my son better than anybody. I know my son better than he knows himself. Don't get involved in my conversation with my son. You understand what I'm talking about here? That's that same thing. Our Savior knows us. And the things that he's saying to his apostles, the things that he's saying to us today, it's because he knows us best. And he knows what we need to hear, even if others might not understand it. You understand that? Verse 1, chapter 15, the book of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Guys, listen, this is one of the worst promises in the Bible to ever try to apprehend, because he looks at his apostles, and here's the thing, and this is the saddest part. I hate this. When it comes to politics and religion, the thing I hate about both of these most is that they've completely inverted themselves, right? People should never be choosing ministry as a career choice. Ministry is not a career choice. You know, I have a job, but I'm thinking about going into ministry because it pays more. No, you're thinking about going into ministry because you want to lower your life. I would like to be a servant to all. Even if it means making less money, I want to please God more. Politics used to be the same way. This is one of the things. If there's one thing I was going to pick about our current president that I actually like, is why would an idiot like that go into politics? He don't need it. He's already got a lot of money. The Lord Jesus was a talented man. He was a yoke maker. He was a craftsman. He didn't need ministry. It had no draw for him. And here he's saying to us, listen, before you get into this thing, before you understand, I want you to understand what he says here. He says, I am the true vine. Let me tell you a story, because the whole Bible study today is going to circle around this. In my backyard, we have cages. And I've got these, they're 6 foot, by 6 foot by 3 foot tall cages, and they're wood and covered in screen. Now they're on the ground. Now what happens is, after the winter and the spring comes, they wind up with these vines everywhere. Literally engulfs the cage. Now we can go around and start pulling all these vines. Believe me, I've had Jonah pull more vines than he ever wants to talk about pulling. But here's what we do now. We get a weed whacker and we cut around the bottom, all around the bottom, and just wait a couple of days. And you know what happens to the vines? They die. And it's the craziest thing, because these vines, they grow, and some of them have cute leaves, and we got these little things. They look like little mini cucumbers. They're like this big. And you eat them, man, it tastes just like a little cucumber. And then you follow it down, and all of a sudden, the vine that goes into the ground is this really hard yet movable piece of, it's kind of a weird, almost looks like a piece of green rope. Doesn't it? If I had one here, you'd look and go, that doesn't look like a, looks like it's already been shredded. It's not though. That's the strength. And when you weed whack it, sometimes you weed whack and that thing just goes, doesn't cut. You gotta sit down, yank it out of the ground, or you're out. Keep that thought in mind. He says, I am the true vine. You're the branches. My Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser, you know what the vine dresser does? He puts the vines exactly where he wants them. Is this thing hitting you yet? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I did something weird with chapter 15 of the book of John. I circled three words. I circled fruit, I circled love, and I circled joy. I circled fruit, I circled love, and I circled joy. And I could not believe in this little 27 verse chapter how many times those words existed. Fruit occurs in this chapter 8 times. And if you're one of those Bible geeks that study such things, 8 in the Bible is the number of new beginnings. And I think that's definitely appropriate for this. And again, like I said, this isn't like a good promise. If you are, let me put it to you straight. If you come to church every week and don't bear fruit, you know what the Bible, you know what the Lord Jesus just said? God's going to put you someplace else. He's going to take you away. Whoa, I better be bearing some fruit then, because do you know how many people come to church here and they're only here for 2 or 3 weeks? And immediately they start serving and getting to know people, and they're sharpening each other. And then all of a sudden they leave and you're like, oh man, where'd they go? I miss them. And they come in again. Robin is like, I was just talking to Robin. Robin's been taking care of her mom. And I just, every week, me and my wife, where's Robin? What's up? Did you talk to Robin? It's just a weird thing. Some people just seem to fit right in. But some people come here for years. I'm telling you, we've had people be here for years, and then they just leave, and they're like, okay, they're gone. Where'd they go? I don't know. Do you recognize that they were here or that they were gone? No, they just never did it. They never bore any fruit, not only fruit in and of themselves, but fruit for the kingdom. So I guess we have to decide. Is anybody confused about what I'm saying yet so far? Okay. God says, if you don't produce fruit. The Lord Jesus said, if you don't produce fruit, God the Father is going to take you away. So if you're here and you believe that, ask yourself now, what's fruit? What is fruit? Well, first and foremost, you'd think that fruit would be making disciples of others. Bringing other people to the kingdom. Are you bearing fruit? Ask yourself this. How long have you been walking the Lord? Have you ever brought anybody to Christ? Have you led anybody? Say this prayer after me. I accept Christ as my Savior. I want to follow him all days. Amen. Have you never done that? Okay. Have you ever invited somebody to church and brought them to church? No. Have you served in children's ministry? No. Have you gone to the convalescent home? Nope. Have you brought a sandwich to a homeless person? Nope. Then what are you doing? I'm not bearing fruit. Now listen, there is a time to be watered. There's a time to be fertilized. There's a time for all these different things in the body. And you might not bear fruit in every season, but if a few seasons of your life have passed by and you're not bearing any fruit at all, you're not going to stay like that. God, according to what we just read, is not going to let that happen. He's going to take you away. He might take his lampstand from you, as Book of Revelation says. He might take his spirit away from you. He might just sour your relationships in this church. Oh, you know what? You ain't working in this church. Let me see if I put you in another church. Maybe you can bear fruit there. And then some of us been through 2, 3, 4, 5 churches, and here's the story. I didn't like that guy. That guy didn't reach me. That guy didn't entertain me. Those people at that church are cliques. That's what I hate about little churches. Everybody knows your business. What do you hate about big churches? Nobody says hi to you. So basically, you hate all churches. And I say that laughing, but all you people here that have been to a lot of churches, you know, yeah, that's what it is, right? But here's the promise that we don't like so much. Look at the next line he says. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So you guys that are bearing fruit for the Lord, don't worry. He's going to prune you. Anybody not know what pruning is? That's cutting off dead branches, things that aren't bearing fruit. So if I don't bear fruit, he takes me away. If I do bear fruit, he cuts pieces of my limbs off. Yeah, this might not be the life for you. Right now, if you're a non-believer, you hear, you're like, you know what? You could keep to that. Sounds like some kind of Marine Corps stuff going on there anyway. Can I just go to church? No. That's not why you joined this army. I'm sorry. This man's army, you're called to protect and serve. I don't like this Bible study. Yeah, I didn't like it either the first time I heard it. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, I'm realizing I should have circled abide too. Abide, abide, abide. 3 times in that one verse. I'll do that at home or something. Maybe next time I go through. He said, if you are clean, he's saying, remember, he's talking to his apostles. You're already clean. And what he's saying is, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. Now, in order to bear fruit, in order to produce what I've called you to, how many of you guys take a seed? How many of you guys have ever planted any kind of garden? Okay, almost all of us, right? You guys, nobody here, you have never planted a garden, Bob? Oh, you did. Well, didn't you hear me ask you to raise your hand? Oh, I didn't see you raise your hand, man. How many of you guys have ever gotten, my daughter Arlie's really into, like, she wants me to make a new garden box for her every other week. And so she gets these boxes, and then she goes out and she gets these seeds. What is that one you have now have in it? Yeah, which ones? Rosemary, mint, parsley, thyme, cilantro. Have you guys ever had a what do you call those things? Herb garden. I mean, it's the craziest thing. Like, she has this mint one, and the leaves are so small. You take that, ooh, that's where they get the gum from. And then I sit there and look at it and say, okay, now how did they get that thing and put it into gum? Do they boil it down and then take the, I love that show, How Do They Make It? And I go, oh, that's how they do it. I watched it the other day, showed how they made sheets of plywood. It's like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I often wonder how they make a sheet of plywood. They get a tree, they cut it, and then they soak it in water for like a week or so, and then they literally shave pieces. It rolls around this machine, and they shave pieces of it off, and then the wood is like paper, and then they put it on top and dry it. And you're like, are you kidding me? I feel like, you know, remember that movie, I don't remember the name of the movie. No, the other one? Nope. Gladiator. I did not know men could build such things. I watch that show all the time. I did not know men can build such things. How did they do? Who figured that out? So who plants a seed and then when nothing comes up, you're like, that's cool. I wasn't really doing that for no reason. Arlie plants the whole box. Can you see it? Daddy, can we go? She's my daughter gets something in her head. It's freaking pit bull. I'm telling you. I will get 7 texts a day and 3 phone calls. Dad, did you do that? Dad, did you do it? Dad, did you do it? Busy. Gotta go to Home Depot and get dirt. I've got piles of dirt 9 feet high in my backyard, 20 feet wide. We're filling in the property, and I got this pool guy that digs out pools and just drops it off. You can use that dirt, but that's not potting soil. It's perfect soil. So we make the box, and there she is. She digs it out and wets it down and plants the seeds in it and wets it. And every day she's out there soaking it down, and nothing grows. And she's like, that's cool. I'm okay with that. No. You know what she's got to do? Some of them, this is crazy. Like the peppermint, it grows like it grows over the side of the box and down, and she's got to cut it. Oh, that's what he means. He's got to prune even the one that's bearing. Because you know what happens sometimes when you bear too much fruit? You're not taking care of it, and that fruit can go rotten. Some things get so big that they become freaks. And now the thing that got so big is taking over the whole box. The peppermint and the cilantro had an affair. It was crazy. And she had to go there and that's what happens to these pastors. That's what happens to these church leaders. They get so big. You know what ceases to become important? The true vine. The vine is supposed to be what's important, not the fruit. Not the fruit. And when the fruit gets too big, you must be pruned. Otherwise, you get a little too big for your britches. A little big for your britches. This is my church. I look at over the vastness of my people. Look what I have done. Oh, be careful. And if you think it hasn't happened to men, then you ain't been watching any TV at all. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is one of these things that being in the world, not being a part of God's, understanding being a part of God's kingdom, you might think, what an arrogant saying, you weak people. You know how many people I know in the world? You know, dude, I like you, you're a good guy, but this whole God thing, you're so weak. You could think that, that's okay. Because I am completely dependent upon God. Do you know what I know about myself? Do you know what I can accomplish on my own? Nothing. And I've watched my walk with Christ go like this. Here, I walked into church and I was this big. Yeah, I'm here. I'm a blessing to your church. Here I am. And I've watched myself like a meat grinder just go. Yeah, I can help this place out. I think I can help you guys out. I have the gift of, you know, this. And then I just watch. You know how many people say, bro, what you've done with your life? I'm like, I've done nothing with my life. Oh, but your kids, nothing. But you've been married for, you know, 30, nothing. What have you done, Ryan? I've done nothing. Zero. Do you understand this? Nothing. I have no strength to accomplish anything. Faithfulness to my wife for 25 years, I have not done that. That is God's grace and mercy on me alone. A business to run 25 years. Nothing in me. Nothing. Oh, no, but you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps. Listen, brothers and sisters, get to the point. You can do nothing. And until you admit that to yourself, until you've really, really wrapped your head around that, what the Lord Jesus is saying here, you must abide in him. or you can't do anything. Believe me, you don't build up any strength. You don't accomplish nothing. You have done nothing. You have done nothing. If this word offends you, then you're not dead enough yet. I am sufficiently convinced. I'm dead. Nothing. Let me put my hands in it. I promise you I'll screw it up. I promise you. I started this business across the street 25 years ago. Right? In the first 2.5, 3 years of this business, it's a good thing I had my other business because it was just a big waste of time. Then all of a sudden I go to prison, right? The business explodes right before I went to prison. I was in prison for a year, business died again. Get out, 5 months behind on the rent, 6 months behind on the electricity. You could not believe how this thing was held. I get out, all of a sudden, boom, it blows up again. Yeah, I got it. It's me. When I'm there, things go good. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open one of these up. We're going to market it. We're going to, what are those things called when you sell? Franchise. We're going to franchise it. We're going to do this. So we open up one there, and we open up one there, and we open up one there. At one point, we had 4 stores. God says, oh, you only need 1 store. No. I got these ideas. I did this business. You did nothing. The blessing of God is upon the business. That's why the business is doing well. If you think it had anything to do with you, now, does that mean I could sit at home and do nothing and just watch God do it? No. God wants to use me, but make no mistake about it, He can use somebody else if He wants to. I, apart from Him, can do nothing. Nothing. I can't hear you, baby. That's even better. Man, I wish I had circled that word. And I'm glad Sister Rebecca brought that up, because what is it now to abide? So this begs the question. So now we understand fruit. We understand abide. I'm sorry. We don't understand abide yet. Stay with me. We haven't gotten to joy yet, right? I haven't said joy yet? Okay, good. Okay, we understand vine. We understand branches. So He's the vine. He's the thing that goes into the ground and feeds the branches, right? Now, how do we abide? We understand that when I weed whacked around the cage, the vines died, right? Why is it in people, when they get disconnected, they don't die? There's a really good book called The Tale of Three Kings, written by a man named Eugene Edwards. And he said this. God raises some men up, allows them to do atrocious things, just so everybody will see what happens when you mess with God. Starts to make sense now. It's like, because you wonder, why would this guy, how did this guy get all the way up to the top with his power and his talent and his gift of communication, only to be revealed as a foul heart, wicked sinner abusing his children? How did that happen? Well, God let that happen. Why did God let that happen? As a warning to everybody. Ain't gonna let that happen to me. People say, don't you want more people in your church? No. No. How come? I know me. This thing gets big. Yeah, let's go to 2 services, 3 services. Yeah, let's appoint more deacons and elders. And yeah. My church, and oh, listen, we don't have enough money in the bank to pay next month's rent yet, okay? And you know what? That suits me just fine. We'll count on God for that next month. God will show up. I'm fine with that. You understand that? I hope you do. So what is it as a Christian now to abide? How do you find yourself connected to the vine that goes down so that you are constantly fed? Because when men are cut from that vine, you know who knows it? Only that man. And he's usually a liar. You understand what I just said there? If a woman is not connected to the vine, she's usually not going to say, well, you know, I haven't been, you know, really connected to the vine. So what are you doing with your life? I'm completely screwing it up. They're not going to say that. They keep up the whole appearance thing. They just keep going about their life. Men and women do that. So then how do you know? Well, here's one way. Here's one way to not just tell others, but this is the way you tell yourself. Because here's what we're going to look at now. Ready? Love, joy, fruit. Ask yourself now what you're producing in these things. Are you filled with the joy of the Lord? Are you happy? Is the joy in your heart so that your circumstances don't dictate that joy, the fullness thereof or lack of it? You are going through death. You're going through tragedy. You're going through financial woe, and it's all over you. What's the matter? Afflicted. Cursed. Burdened. Remember, I've been talking so much about John Corson. Did anybody here go out and watch his stuff? Was I exaggerating at all? Was I exaggerating at all? You guys got to watch John Corson's testimony. When the joy of the Lord is your strength, when the joy of the Lord is in you, is upon you, your circumstances cannot... You've heard there's a Christianese saying, stealing your joy. What's stealing your joy? What is stealing your joy? Well, we're really going through a financial woe. If it was the joy of the Lord, it wouldn't steal it. Listen, ready for this? Husbands, you are not responsible for making your wife happy. Wives, you are not responsible for making your husbands happy. That is God's job, and that is their responsibility. You don't make me happy. I'm not supposed to make you happy. I'm supposed to do my thing. Exactly what God says. I'm faithful. I'm true. I work hard. And I love you. But you're not making me happy. It's not my job. You gotta find your joy in Christ. You see, guys, if you're not happy with her, I'm sorry, if you're not happy without her, you're not going to be happy with her. And if she's not happy without you, she ain't going to be happy with you. You can't give her joy. Only God can do that. You can give her pleasure. You can take her out to dinner and make her happy for a night. But you cannot fill her with that joy. Only God can do that. So, are you filled with joy? Are you filled with love, the agape love? Has God given you love? Is your life a testimony of, you know what? I don't care. I just love it. Listen, it's the craziest thing. Some people are really flippant with the word love. Boy, I love you. 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 People say, I love you anytime. I love you. And some people are like really tight with it. You could say to them, I love you. Me too. Yeah, right back at you. But some people, especially in the body, they sincerely say, hey man, I really love you. Yeah, I love you too. No, I love you. Not like ice cream, especially not like my wife. Like you're my boy. I love you. Man, I got your back. And if you haven't said that or haven't had anybody say that to you, then you got to ask yourself, why not? The Lord Jesus used the word love. I didn't even count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, a whole lot of times. Joy, fruit. Okay, what is it about this abide that I'm not doing, that I don't have joy, that I don't have love, and that I don't have, what's the other one? Fruit. Yes, Johnny?
Looking at the word abide, the Strong's version, uh-huh. It says, not to depart, to continue to be present, to not to perish, to last, to endure, to survive, to remain as one, not to become another or different, to wait for one.
So how do we accomplish that as Christians? Is it a feeling? But I really love God. I don't understand why I keep doing porn. I don't understand because I really love God. I don't understand why I keep cheating. I don't understand why I keep doing drugs. I don't care why I keep doing it. What is it? Why do I do it? I love God, but this is not happening. Because to abide is a verb, is it not? It is not a noun. Let me explain to you how to abide. Prayer. Bible reading. Worship. Fellowship. Witness. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and witness. That means you are a witness. I don't recall but maybe two or three times in my entire life going out and saying, I am going to share Christ with somebody. I have, though, my whole entire life been in Christ, of course, been a witness for him. I cannot tell you how many times me and my family have prayed at a restaurant. Me and Christian and my wife and Nicole went out to dinner a couple of weeks ago. We went out to Ruth Chris Steakhouse in Boca. Good stuff. I highly recommend meat. And we prayed before our dinner. And this woman, after dinner, right? We're not even finished with our dinner yet. She walks up. Excuse me. I just want to say something to you guys. That I just think it's beautiful the way you guys prayed. I just think it's beautiful. As a matter of fact, I just want you to know I'm from New York and I'm going to kiss every one of you. And she went around the table. Joy, am I lying? She went around the table and kissed every one of us. She's like, I'm from New York. That's how we are. I thought I was from New York too, but apparently not, because I've never walked up to a table of strangers and started kissing on them. God bless you guys. Keep up the good work. Goodbye. My wife, she walked away. My wife looked at me. I was like, Long Island. You New Yorkers got that. It's just sometimes just living it and not being afraid. Now, you're surrounded in a restaurant, and the restaurant's crazy busy. There's literally hundreds of people in there, and we're in like the center table. You know, it's kind of a gay thing. Can we hold hands and pray? Ugh, it's just, do I have to do that in a restaurant? No, you don't. But what a chance for a little fruit there. A little chance to be a witness. Now, if you are reading your Bible every day, spending time in prayer every day, worshiping God every day, fellowshipping every day, and living the life of a witness every day, you are abiding. Guys, that's not 4 days a week. Abiding is not a 4 day a week thing. Abiding is what, Johnny? You got rid of it already? All right, it's okay. What he said before, don't you dare look it up again. So ask yourself again. Now let's ipso facto this thing. Let's make it a math equation. If you're not apprehending fruit, if you're not apprehending joy, and if you're not apprehending love, according to what we just read, and it's not addition that I'm making on my own, he says, you're not abiding. My brothers and sisters here, again, upper room discourse, God speaking to his people, his disciples, me now preaching that word to you. I'm saying, guys, if you don't have these things, here's why. It's not hard. Now, a lot of you guys see, and here's what happens, and here's exactly what happens to the new believer. They go, I don't understand, why is it so difficult? Why is it so hard, though? Why can't I just like, okay, here I was saved, here I'm not. Here I live like an animal, here I live like a Christian. Why is it? That doesn't work anywhere else in life, and we never argue about it. How many of you guys go to the gym twice a week and go and walk in the mirror and are like, yeah, that's me. Well, it is a chick thing. No matter what a woman looks in the mirror, I'm fat. No matter what a dude looks in the mirror, guys, yeah. So crazy. But be that as it may, that doesn't matter. No place else do we think that would work. But in Christianity, we think it should work. Why? It's not how it works. You either abide and bear fruit because you're abiding, or you don't abide and you won't bear fruit, and God's going to move you on to a place where you will bear fruit. Now, let me ask you a question. If you had a child that was not behaving, and it's your child, and it's not behaving, what would you do to that child? And why should God do something different? And why do we bemoan and say, why is God letting this happen to me? I think it's clear why God's letting this happen to you. You parents here, that was the first time you busted that kid's butt and they turned around and looked at you and said, nope. You guys know what I'm talking about. I remember busting my daughter Ashlyn's butt and her looking at me and go, they do this thing with their jaw. I'm not gonna cry for you. Oh, yes, you are. See, they either get stronger or they don't. So God spanking us makes us stronger, preparing us. You want to live a life in the world? Let me tell you what the world's like. The world will beat you down. You're not going to beat the world. So God allows you to go through these trials. He strengthens your flesh so that eventually it will break down to nothing, or he strengthens your spirit so that it will overcome your flesh. But you can't do it unless you abide. You cannot do it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in anywhere. She's saying that John Corson, when she watched that testimony of John Corson, he says, when you are going through trials, it causes you to, it was a very famous Christian named Corrie Ten Boom. He said that sometimes you don't realize that God is all you need until God is all you got. Best things that have ever happened in my life turned out to be the worst things that I ever thought. Going to prison and being away from my wife and kids for a year, worst thing I ever been through, best thing that ever happened to me. Anybody else? You're like, oh, I know exactly what you mean. Greatest thing ever happened to you, the worst trials you ever been through. You get on the other side and you realize, wow, God was there the whole time. Okay, we're going to roll through this now. I am the vine, verse 5, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, we looked at the same type of verse last week. Remember, verse 7 is very important. People have misused this to benefit themselves financially. See, if you ask God something, he has to give it to you. Nay, that's not what it says. If you abide in him and you're looking to bear fruit, God, I would love today if you would put somebody in my path who's hurting so I could pray for them. God, I would love if you put somebody in my path today who doesn't know you, who I could share. God will always answer those prayers. But it is so contradictory to Scripture to say, God, your word says you have to do what I say. I want a Cadillac. I want more money. And think that he is inclined or obligated to do it. Now, to us who learn the Scripture every week, we say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, but you want to know how many churches are doing that? You know how many hundreds of thousands of people have fallen for that? Ugh. The church is so messed up this day and age, and it's getting worse. According to Scripture, it's getting worse. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. abide in my love if you keep my commandments. I'm sorry, abide in my love, period. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What's God's plan for your life? It ain't to walk around afflicted. It's not to walk around bummed out. It's to be filled with joy. He's reiterating what I've already stated. Usually I let him state it and then I reiterate it. I gave you this in advance. Why do you not have joy? You're not abiding in his love. Why are you weak in the flesh? You're not abiding in his love. What is his love? His love is his word. His love is prayers. These things, please figure it out now. They don't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by accident. It does not happen by chance. You did not accept the Lord Jesus and go, I'm in the army. Here's your uniform. Here's everything. And by the way, here's your joy and here's your love. No. Man, you got to work for it. You got to work for it. You want to be a blue belt your whole life? Goodness sakes. Man, purple belt. That's the belt of technicality. Remember you got your purple belt? Man, I remember I got my purple belt. It's like any wrestler can be a blue belt, but a purple belt, that's jiu-jitsu right there. Remember getting that back? I can't believe I'm a purple belt, man. Purple belt. Yeah. Man, purple belt's like, you never see black belt in sight, but when you get a purple belt, all of a sudden it's like, man, it's only a few years away, 4 or 5 years, and I'll be a black belt. Wow. That's what it is. The first time you're in a conversation with a Christian and you actually obey the Lord, the first time you lead somebody to God, the first time you share your faith with somebody, you're like, man, purple belt, yeah. Prayed for somebody today, man. Purple belt. First time you get cast out, your friends party without you because they don't want you around. Purple belt. Let me tell you what happens when you get a purple belt. Every blue belt in the gym guns for you. Woo, they come after you. Man, because then it's on. Because then every blue belt wants to be a purple belt, and very few get there. So every blue belt thinks, if I just tap that guy, man, I'm telling you, that's like I'm a purple belt. Even if I don't have a purple belt, I tap the purple belt. And that's what the world looks at you, Christian. When you start to make a difference where you work, when you start to make a difference where you live, and they hate you for it. Oh, they hate you for it. I'm gunning for you. Oh, you want to be a purple belt? I'll show you what it is to be a purple belt. I thought you were a purple belt. Oh, I seen you look at that girl. I seen you. Huh. Well, what are you listening to? Purple belt. Yeah. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. If you are my friends, I'm sorry, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. You know, I'm kind of reading this wrong. I should be reading this in a more quiet and intimate way. Remember, it's a small group. He's got his guys there. So I'm going to change my tone a little bit because I want you to really receive it as he was saying it. It's the upper room discourse. There's only a dozen or so people in there. And he's trying to make them, he's not preaching at them. These are people that want to hear this stuff. You know, some people, they get drugged here. They're here, okay, I'm coming. Oh, my goodness, how long is this guy going to talk? But other people are like, I'm sitting there, and they're like this. How'd you do that, man? You've been faithful to your wife for 25 years. How'd you do that? Man, you don't watch porn, you don't do drugs, you don't drink, you don't smoke. How'd you do that? Come on, man. Tell me more. This is what they were like. They wanted to hear this stuff. They were excited about it. Because, man, they've been listening to him tell stories and parables. He'd been listening to talk to these people who had no ears for it. He's been rejecting it. He's been rejected. He knows his last couple of days is coming. It's over for him. And they want to know. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. A servant does not know what his master's doing, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. You understand this, guys? Here's what he said to his disciples. Here's what he's saying to us. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You think somebody invited you to church and you accepted Christ? You think all of a sudden you deduce this? There's no deduction here. Do you understand? If you deduce Christ, it's over for you already. Well, everybody's going to church, or this guy's. You can't. It has to be, come to me. I'm calling you. Now, so many people close the door and reject it. Those who are deducing, well, here's why I believe Christianity. Because the Bible says this and the Bible says that, or because this guy said this. It ain't like that. If you are deduced into it, somebody will seduce you out of it. There's always smarter people. And let me tell you something. Christians aren't smart people. They're not chosen for their smartness. We're dumb. We're fish. We're sheep. We're stupid people, stubborn and hard-hearted and foolish. That's not very nice. It's not. I didn't say that, though. Paul said that. I chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I chose the weak things of this world to be strong. I chose the abased things. You've been called by God. It's not a compliment. It's an honor, but it's not a compliment. And here the Lord Jesus says to his people, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I set everything up in your life to get you here today. You know why? So you can bear fruit. So you here are leaders of your families. You here are leaders amongst your friends. You are here to change the world you're in. That's why I called you. I didn't call you to go to church. I didn't call you to listen to Christian worship music, is whatever you want to call it. I called you to bear fruit that remains, that when you're gone, my son and my son-in-law say, let me tell you about Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop taught us how to live, and he taught us how to die. Pop-Pop worked till he was 95 years old. Pop-Pop was doing jujitsu till he was 90. We had to drag. He died on the mat. That's Pop-Pop. He was doing an umaplata and ruptured his spleen or something good like that. Fruit that remains. Let them tell, Arlen's going to tell her kids, let me tell you about great-grandpa. Pop-Pop, he was crazy. But he loved Jesus. Fruit that remains. He chose you to do this. You didn't choose him. This is a setup. Your whole life has been a setup. And when you get saved, you look back at your whole life and you go, holy crap, you were with me the whole time? The whole time. When I was in the car and the bullets, when I got into the car accident, when I did whatever thing you've been through, God says, yeah, that was my hand that was upon you. I assigned that angel to move the bullet. I assigned that angel to allow this. I did all this. Why? Because I love you, I called you, and I got work for you to do. If you ain't into work, this ain't the life for you. This hard work. Man, I got so many things to do when I wake up in the morning. The last thing I need to do is be sitting in a chair for an hour and a half reading and praying. Believe me when I tell you, I got so much to do, but it is the first thing I do. Because I must abide. No, the busier, here's the crazy thing. The more I spend time in prayer and read the Bible, the busier I get in every aspect of my life. And the busier I get in every aspect of my life, the less time I have to sit in that chair and pray and read the Word. But the more I need to. It's the craziest contradiction of my life. I'm really, 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 really busy. So I really, really, really need to pray. But I'm really, really, really busy and I don't have time to pray. Wrong deduction. Wrong answer. That's called disqualification. You will now cut that vine, and believe it or not, and here's the crazy thing. It takes about 3 or 4 days after we weed whack for those vines to completely brown, and then we just pull them off easy. Unfortunately, I've seen men go on for 20 years not abiding. And they're serving.
Open the door. Here you go. Come on in.
I've been going to church with some of you guys here for 20 years. Some of you guys, we've been going to church together for 20 years. It's the craziest thing. So many of the couples that we grew up with that we thought were leaders in our old church, they're divorced, they're separated. There's things going on that you're like, that person? What happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. They stopped abiding. You must abide. For how long? Forever. You jujitsu guys here, take a week off. What's that first day back like? Oh. Take a month off. You know what happens when you take more than a couple of months off of jujitsu? Like, I ain't going back. Nope. Why? Because those first few days suck so bad. You got no gas, and all the blue belts are kicking your butt because they've been training, they're working hard, and you're supposed to be a purple, brown, or black belt, but you can't do nothing with them because you're too tired. I'm not going back. It's embarrassing. Is anybody making the correlation? I ain't going back to church. I've been away too long. Why? What's the problem? Oh, everybody's going to know. I'll find another church to go to. You know, I don't want people to know what's going on in my life. I got divorced. I did this. I did that. I was in rehab. Whatever. No, just come back. You know, Ryan, you use too many jujitsu comparisons. Yeah, I love it. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop it right there. Because I think that 18 we could pick up next week. We've been going a long time, and I think I've thrown a lot of information at you. I just, as I started reading that, I felt like the Spirit said, that's enough. You got enough there. Abide produces joy, love, and fruit. Not abiding removes all those things. If you don't have fruit, love, and joy, that's because you're not abiding. Period. Nobody has ever come to me. Me and my wife, we do marital counseling, of course. I do premarital counseling, right? And I say to them, here's what a relationship in Christ looks like. You pray together. You read the Bible together. You worship together. That's what a relationship looks like. And they say, well, we didn't know that. We were young. Okay, it's no problem. You could always start today. I often will leave my office and I'll say, here, just read that to your wife, I'll come back, right? 20 years, me and my wife have been doing this. Do you know how many couples came back and said, we're praying, we're reading, we're worshiping, and it just don't work. We still can't make these things happen. We're just fighting too much. We just can't make it happen. How many, anybody want to take a guess? How many? Zero. Not one couple has ever come back, and I'm talking about hundreds of couples. They either get divorced or they do it and God fixes it. Not one couple. Yeah, man, we tried that prayer and Bible study thing. It just don't work. Doesn't it sound stupid? But how many couples are here fighting and hassling and getting into arguments all the time and on the edge of divorce, and you won't do the one thing you need to do? Why? Why? You know what you do? You do what every cheater in the gym does. Little Deca. Little steroid. Yeah, we went on vacation. That helped a lot. We bought a new house. That worked. Here, the little steroids. Because you can work out 3 days a week if you do a lot of steroids, and you could get big. You can. You get strong and big. You could cheat. I'm not talking about creatine. I'm talking about the hard stuff. Creatine is okay. That's just a good diet. Little test, you know, a little testosterone, a little test, TRT. I need a little TRT therapy. I'm, you know. No. There ain't no shortcuts. There ain't no quick fixes. You do this or you don't do it. And if you choose not to do it, don't say God did you wrong. Don't blame God because you don't have joy. Don't say God did your life wrong. Because if you want to trade stories, we could trade stories. And I use him as an example intentionally because he makes himself available. Johnny's gone through some heck of a time the last couple of years. Manny, Sarah, Danielle, they don't, you wouldn't know what happened just 2 years ago by looking at them, would you? Why? Abiding. How's it going? It's going great, man. What are you, what's wrong with you? Do you know what happened to you? No, remind me. So many people want to remind you of what happened to you. Abide. If you abide in him and he abides in you, you will bear much fruit, fruit that will remain. Because he's chosen us. Indeed. Amen. So let it be done. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this this reminder, this refresher course. God, thank you so much for the word, the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. God, I pray for those here that their heart is burning right now, and they think, man, this guy's talking right to me. I pray for that person today, God, that you'd give them the strength, the grace of strength to pick up that Bible tomorrow, to set some time apart, just you and them, the couples here that are broken and hurting. God, we want to abide so bad, but it's so hard getting into that gym, getting on that mat and running, and it's so hard. Day one is so hard, God. Please give us grace to get past the first few months until it becomes our habit, until we become completely addicted to you, God. Please give us strength. We love you, and we thank you for these words of correction today and these words of instruction. God, your word is perfect. These things we ask in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.